out of training with it. I'm going to try and make this just brief because I know that we have a meeting and that it can drag on with things like that. But if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Now, we're going to be talking about the topic of humility. And I think that's one of the things that we don't have come to mind often when we think of the things that we should strive for. Like we desire to try and magnify our works and to be more dynamic or to be more gospel driven. And these things are good, but the core of what we do, like humility must be there too. Like Brother Matt said this morning, we're not going to make a name for ourselves. We're not building a church to Matt Raines. We're not building a church to any single one of us, and we're not building a church to all of us. We are building a church for Jesus. And I think in that, we see how crucial humility is. And here's the funny thing about humility being overlooked. I was once up at OBU. They held a conference where they had students who are learning their PhDs. So people that are studying their Bibles and are very knowledgeable about this. People that are going and giving lectures, like practicing for the day they finally get it. And those who won got to pick books. They had, you know, tons of biblical books all gathered together. And everyone who gave a presentation got to get a book. And those who did the best got to get a book. And I volunteered for this. So at the very end, we got to get some of the pickings of what was left afterwards. And what struck me was out of all of these books, there had to have been like 50 of them. They're all picked dry to about, you know, 10 or so books. And one of the books that I saw that ended up coming to me was a book called Humility Illustrated. And I don't want to say anything about their character or make a statement about a lack of humility, but I think it shows something right there that we can be so focused on so many things and so quickly overlook something so simple as humility. And so that's why I want us to come and look at this, because as we go to expand our church, and I don't mean in the building sense, but in the people sense, as we go to do the kingdom work, we need to remind ourselves and root ourselves in the whole purpose about this, and it's Christ. And that means it's not a picture where we're looking at ourselves. So if you will, read with me. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. In it, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Let's pray real quick. Father God, we are just so grateful for the love that we see through Christ, and the humility in that. The fact that he brought himself down to save us, and to glorify your name, Lord. To know that he lowered himself for our salvation. So please just put that love on our hearts and remind us that we are to do the exact same as he has done, that we are to love others and to not think of ourselves as much as we often do. Thank you for this day that you've given us, and just remind us of your word and put it on our hearts, especially as we go to look towards electing teachers. Let it be something we do not in pride, but in humility. In Jesus' name, amen. Humility is an important thing, right? The book of James says, like, the reason that we have strife with one another is because of our passions, our desires that we have. And so we realize really quickly that the conflict that we have with each other, with the world outside of us, is a conflict of pride and desire. And for both of those things, the answer is humility, which makes so much sense because Paul here addresses this all throughout Philippians in his letter. He does not rebuke them, but he encourages them in being like Christ. And he narrows in here about this humility part. And it's important to note that throughout all of Philippians, it's not just this small section that Paul talks about humility. If you read the section outside of it, just due to time, we're not going to go through all of it. But he goes through all of this section. It's a Christ hymn, is what we've addressed. But he talks about the encouragement and being in one accord, which we know only comes through humility. He later talks about Christ's exaltation too, And so we see Christ's exaltation is in his humility, but it's also through ours too. We exalt Christ when we are being humble. But all throughout Philippians, we see this humility. Paul points out that for him to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So his point of living in life is not for himself, but to live it for Christ, for someone else. Later in chapter 3, he's going to go and take all those people who are trying to build themselves up and go and pull up his own resume and say how good he would be by their standard, only to then trash on that resume to make it clear that he counts it all as garbage on account for Christ. Christ is better. And then interestingly, we see Paul showing this humility and calling others to imitate him. He says, just like imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then in chapter 4, he tells them to focus on the good things and again to practice what he has demonstrated to them. So what we see with Paul right here is he shows us a good picture of his humility because he's not boasting about himself. I mean, in Corinthians, he talks about let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Paul is not boasting about himself, yet he understands that he can point others to himself to live that gospel to them and so that they can live the gospel too. So Paul is towing that line very well of not being prideful, but also not lowering Christ's impact on his life. He's pointing to that and not pointing to himself. It's because Paul understands that, as we've talked about before, I think Brother Matt brought it up last week, that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And if you see here, Paul doesn't go to define what humility is. He makes it clear that we just need to look at Christ, just see his example, and in that we will know what humility is. So he wants us to bring our identity to Christ to address our pride, and then focus on Christ to see as our example. So he first puts this here, that he brings Christ up as the example, and he says that he is in the form of God and did not think it was robbery to be equal with God. Now here is, just for understanding who Christ is, let's make it clear, Christ is truly God and truly man. And it's not that he has set aside his deity and that he's come and has just become a person. He is still God. God died on the cross for us in Jesus Christ. So we got to make sure that is very clear, because if we read this wrong, we won't see that. But when Paul is saying that Christ is in the form of God, he is saying he is of the same nature. He is the same being. He is God. Just as he says, I am the Father and one. But when he says it is not robbery to be equal with God, basically what he's saying is he's not holding it against us. He's not sitting up here with his God status of saying, I am better than you, and you guys, like as lower beings, for one, I don't care about you, or on the fact that we are lower beings that have sinned against him. Instead, he still doesn't hold that against us, but then we see in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Literally, it says he's emptying himself, is the language there. And here's the beautiful thing about it. He's God. We know that because he is God, he's lacking nothing. And because he is God, he can lose nothing. So the paradox we see here is the way for him to humble himself, to be empty, to almost lose his reputation, is by adding to himself. He is now a person. And so in that, we see he has condescended, he has made his status lower for a time, as Hebrews says, by becoming a person. I mean, it's like for us, and there's no analogy that can build up to it, because for us, like, we can think of the lowest creature, and it's still not the same gap. I mean, we wouldn't become a worm to save worms, but there's a much larger gap between God and us. And yet still, he came and became a man. He lived a life as a man for us. And when we say that, like, realize he didn't come and just become a person like us. Like, he came in almost the most anticlimactic way from a certain point of view. He didn't come down with a bolt of lightning and declare himself to be our king as a person and as God. No, he was born to poor people. He was put in a manger, right? And then he lived a life. Like, he grew up, had his diaper changed, learned to talk, like, relied on his parents, and then went and worked a job. And then he got up to ministry when he was around 30 and served people. And he went and washed his disciples' feet, like the dirty feet that they had, that they walked all around the paths. God got his hands dirty washing their feet. And then on top of that, he went and he died for us. The most gruesome death, but also a humbling death. Because that's what he said, he became obedient to death, but even the death on a cross. And so what he's saying here, and it reminds us that the fact that the Bible says cursed is every person who's hung on a tree. Okay, it's not just any sort of death. It's not just any sort of execution. But Roman execution is humiliation. And for the Jews to be hung on a tree is to be cursed. Like, he took our curse from us. He felt the punishment and the pain of being sinful, even though he didn't ever sin. He felt the wrath of God, even though he did nothing to ever displease him. Like, he got up and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which that's a topic that can be addressed again, quoting a hymn, but you can see the emotion that's brought up if you read Psalm 22. Like, he's just clearly seeing so much of the pain and sorrow that goes through that. That is the humility that he had for us. And Paul, like I said, he'll talk about his exaltation, but he's making it clear. Like, we've seen how Christ has died. We should do the same too. Like, and Matt has put this so many times before. So much of our problems would be gone if our pride was gone. If we put it to death, as the Bible says, to die to self daily. Because how are you going to upset me if I'm dead? How are you going to hurt my pride? Like, how am I not going to forgive you if I'm not offended because I am letting Christ live in me and his forgiveness live through me? I mean, let's stop looking at ourselves and try and compare and be greater. I've been back with the youth in over 2 chapters through Mark 9 and 10. We've been working through it. And we've been seeing Jesus' disciples arguing over who's greater and calling out other people. And constantly now, he's called up little children, say, hey, look, like, I'm going to like knock you guys down a peg here. Like, how you treat them. Like, treat them well, serve them, and that will make you great. And then he says, be like them too. And so he makes it clear. He flips it upside down from what we know, that we don't need to be trying to build up ourselves. And there's a song that goes well with only Jesus. It's like, I don't want to build a legacy, which I don't think that language is right. But at the end of it, he says, I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus. Okay, in the same point, like, my hope is that whenever I am gone and dead, like, if a cemetery has like degraded and eroded away, there's not even anything left to mark the fact that I was here, that the impact that Christ has made through me remains. And so the whole point for all of us should not be to build ourselves up or to build our church up or to make any sort of a name, but like Paul did, to illuminate that humility, to be able to point at ourselves and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And that means we have to follow Christ. So follow him in humility by serving others. Quit forgetting about what you want and think about what Christ wants, and then think about what others want. Let's pray and then we can have our meeting. Father God, we're just so grateful for your love, Lord, and your humility and the examples that you have given us. Lord, we know that it is impossible for us to do on our own, that we need your Spirit to guide us and to kill our old selves that you have brought us to life away from, to kill our sin and bring us from that. Lord, we just pray every day that you refine us more and more so we are more like the image of your Son, and that these things become more natural to us. And we know there's that war inside of us, and that too often we forget that there's a war, and so we go to our flesh instead of going to our spirit. So please, please God, as we prepare ourselves for this next year with so much that is coming up and so much ministry to be done and so much of your name to exalt, put ourselves at the back of our minds. Don't let us think at all about what we want to do, but what you want us to do and how your kingdom can be glorified through us. Thank you again for this time that you've given us in your word. And just guide us with it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.